You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
So back in 2002, Edward Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg's father, gave him a very interesting choice. I'm going to describe what this choice is to both Jay, the producer of this podcast, and Robin, my wife, and see what choice they would have made. And you should think about it too, what choice you would make, and if you would make a similar type of offer that Edward Zuckerberg made to Mark Zuckerberg when he was 18 years old, way before Facebook, before he went to college, what choice would you have chosen? Let's go to Jay and Robin. So, Jay and Robin, here is the question I have for you guys. Okay. Let's say, Jay, you first. Let's say you're about to go to college and your dad comes up to you and says, or your mom, but let's just say your dad. Your dad comes up to you and says, Jay, I'm giving you a choice. You can either go to Harvard and I will pay the whole way through Harvard, or I will buy you a McDonald's franchise and the McDonald's franchise is yours. You can do with it whatever you want. You could run a McDonald's franchise. And just so you know, the average McDonald's franchise owner makes about $200,000 a year, but because your father is buying it for you, you would make more than that because you wouldn't have to deal with, you know, the rent and the interest costs and stuff like that.
Right. Okay. So you're asking me,
so
which
you'd
one
make
will
like,
I choose?
You'd make like $300,000 or $400,000 a year, maybe.
Right. Okay. So you're asking me which one will I choose? So
yeah. And you're 18 years old, Harvard or McDonald's franchise. And let me just say in advance, Mark Zuckerberg's dad made him this offer.
Okay. Just to put it out there. So I'm trying to think as a white person and not an Asian without Asian
no,
parents.
No, okay? No, Jay, think as you. This is you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because like I just wanted to say that that scenario would never happen because my parents are Asian. So like they would never offer, give me that options. But if it's me, I mean, right now I would take the McDonald route rather than the Harvard route.
Why is that?
Well, because like I want like how much you
so
can
all your friends be going off to Harvard and right. like having fun, going to parties, and then they're gonna graduate and they're gonna have a Harvard degree. Maybe who knows how much a Harvard degree makes. And
right.
Actually, let me just look, you know, I should have Googled this in advance, but how much does the average Harvard graduate make? Pops up right away, that question. The average makes the first year out, they make $90,000 a year.
$90,000 a year, but like, but if my franchise is successful, I could make more than $100,000 a year. Well, they're still in school. Well, they're still in school, you know.
Right. Well, they're still in school. Yeah.
Well,
so just to break it down, the average. Wait, where is this? I have all my notes. The average McDonald's franchise, and this is just average. So some make more, some make less. The average McDonald's franchise has net sales of $2.7 million. That means that's how much, you know, hamburgers and stuff they sell per year.
Just one franchise, as in one restaurant, one chain?
Yeah. Okay. On average. Some make less, some make more. $2.7 million a year. And then, but then you have expenses. So, first off, you have to pay, you know, for food. You have to pay for paper, like the plates are paper and stuff. And that comes to about almost $1 million. And then you have to pay, you know, your employees, the manager, the taxes, advertising. You know, that's kind of controllable, though. You could hire fewer people. You can pay less taxes. And then you have to pay rent and interest expense. But I'm taking that off. So and you have to pay for your license. You have to pay McDonald's, you know, kind of a franchise fee every year. So again, this is all rough because some of these expenses you can control. That's why I'm saying the actual average McDonald's franchisor or franchisee makes $153,000 a year. But because Mark Zuckerberg's dad is going to buy it for him, and let's say he doesn't have to pay rent or the fees or whatever, and he doesn't have to pay interest, you know, he'll make a little bit more than $153,000. He'll make maybe $300,000.
Right. Well, the other question is, so let's say if I do go that route, it's only $150,000 a year. I wonder how much I can scale off that. Like, I wonder if it's going to be $150,000 for the rest of my life or maybe...
No, assume it goes up with inflation because the prices of the French fries goes up. And also, then if you own a McDonald's franchise, there's various things you can do. First off, a McDonald's franchise is one of the most reliable franchises of anything. Like if you got an Applebee's franchise, for instance, you might be screwed because Applebee's might go out of business. But McDonald's is never going out of business. So this is a pretty stable kind of franchise. And McDonald's is a pretty stable audience. Like you know, McDonald's as a company makes something like $39 billion a year.
Right.
Most of that from the franchises. And because he's buying you the franchise, you know already what the historical value of that franchise is. It's been making money, let's say, for 10 years. It's in a good location. Your dad's buying it for you. You're not starting one from scratch. And, you know, I just want to add also, if you're entrepreneurial, you can use the cash flow from one franchise to go to the bank and borrow money to buy other franchises. Right. So you can actually build a business owning a whole bunch of franchises, and then that will help you save money on buying. You know, you'll get discounts on buying like the trays and the food and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I guess also the other benefit of running a McDonald's franchise is like you don't have to be there 24/7. Like it could be one of your passive income, like passively we would get $150,000.
I'm not so sure, but you could be right because you have to at least hire a manager then. So that will. But if you own like three or four franchises, you don't have to be at each store, obviously, all the time because it's impossible. So you'd hire some managers. But overall, you're saving money because you're combining costs and you're making more money because you have more than one franchise. And so you can afford to hire managers. So you could be building a business, a franchise business.
So here's my answer.
Uh-huh.
I would like to do both. I would take my dad's offer and then I would pay for Harvard myself.
But wait, how would you pay for Harvard yourself? Your dad, he's buying the McDonald's. He's not giving you money.
Right. But see, after a year, I could make the, you know, money and then I can slowly pay for my own.
What if you can't do that? What if Harvard's going to withdraw their offer to you if you don't take their offer right now? None of this both shit. So, like you can't cheat on this question.
I guess what James meant is like if you have the decision to make right away,
this is Sophie's choice. Like which one of your children are going to a concentration camp? Except it's not that. It's McDonald's or Harvard.
Wait, is that what the Sophie's?
So you know what? I'm going to say Harvard.
Okay.
And why is that?
So I'm thinking because I may not want to be in the restaurant business. And I'm 18, I don't know. So I feel like if I go to college or I go to Harvard, I can just take more time to figure out what I want to do and I can network.
Well, so A, that's the same choice, obviously, that Mark Zuckerberg made. And, you know, Warren Buffett's advice is investing in yourself is the best investment you can do. Invest in anything that improves your own talents, particularly at that age because you don't know what your potential is. If you just keep investing in yourself and building your talents, you're going to make far more than six figures a year, particularly if you're starting at that age. Now, I think for me, at least, I didn't start investing in myself till later because I kind of wasted my time in college, I think. And I think a lot of people do. So that's the question. If you run a McDonald's franchise during those 4 years, A, you'll save money instead of spending the money, or your parents spending the money, and B, although your parents will have bought the franchise, so that doesn't matter, but you will learn how to run a business, which is a very hard skill, and everybody else will just learn, like, you know, European studies or whatever, cultural history.
Right. I guess there's a pro and cons right there, right? But because a lot of the college students that I met, that, like, they don't exactly have the what do you call it, the life skill, like the skill to survive or something like that. The
yeah, like
a skill.
And again, as I've said on this podcast before, I've certainly written about it. I majored in computer science, and then in my first corporate job, I was so bad at programming that they had to send me to remedial school for 2 months to learn how to program.
Right.
It was like embarrassing.
Your first year, like even right now, how many years now? I still have to help you set up your computer. I just have to say, like, James, click.
He just doesn't want to do it.
Every time we log in, it'll be like Michael Dell on the screen, and Michael Dell has to wait for me to get my microphone working.
That actually
Michael
happened.
Dell,
that's so funny.
That actually happened.
Michael Dell, if he dropped $1 million on the ground, it wouldn't, he would make more money just to continue walking rather than pick up $1 million. And he has to wait like 3 minutes for me to like get my microphone working.
Yeah. I'm like, James, you know, you have to change that. I mean, like, I don't blame James, you know, like things evolve, you know. But the thing is, like, James also hasn't been in computer science for a while now. So.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. Even when I was in, I mean, I went to graduate school in computer science. I studied computer science for 5 years, and I programmed and I had programming jobs. I had like 6 programming jobs in school, though, in an academic environment. And I even had a published academic paper on AI and programming and all this. And then I get to a job. My title is junior IT programmer. And my boss comes into my cubicle. Everyone's listening. And he says, look, we really don't want you to fail, but you suck. And you have to go to remedial classes. We'll set it up for you. And so I had to like go to Southern New Jersey. There was an AT&T facility.
Right.
And I don't know. I guess HBO had to deal with AT&T to take their classes. And I learned all this basic stuff. How come I didn't learn it in college? So what I'm saying is, I think I would have chosen the McDonald's, because then, Robin, to your point, you can do something on the side. You just can't go to Harvard. I would maybe have learned programming on the side. There's always, people always say, oh, I have no time. There's always time to do what you love. You don't have to have a job doing it. You don't have to go to school for it. There's always time to do what you love.
Right.
And if people listening to this say, no, I have no time. There's the kids, the mortgage, there's this. Don't watch TV 2 hours a night. Don't go. The average person spends 4 hours a day on social media. Let me.
Yeah. My friend used to tell me this analogy all the time. Time is like the sand in the bottle. Like no matter how much in a bottle, in a jar, no matter how big of a stone that you put it in, like you can always fit sand in there.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like there's always time to do something.
The average person spends 2 hours and 25 minutes per day on social media. And then the average person watches TV. I know we watch TV for probably like 2 hours a day. So there's always some time to do the things you love. Even if it's like, I know, you know, the woman who wrote the movie Pitch Perfect, which was a huge movie, she wrote one page a day of that screenplay on the subway on her commute to work. So,
really?
and David Levine, who was a mystery writer who has been on this podcast, he would commute into work. He would look at all the people on the train just sleeping or doing nothing. And so he wrote a couple pages a day of his first mystery novel. And so there's always time. So, okay. I would run the McDonald's and I would learn about business. I would learn about managing employees. I would learn about execution and saving costs. And, you know, I'd make, you know, $200,000-$300,000 a year. Maybe I would get excited about not McDonald's, but I'd get excited about business. So I'll buy other franchises and use the cash flow to buy a Subway franchise, a Panera franchise, all these things. And, you know, there's one company, the biggest owner of McDonald's franchises is a company called Arcos. That guy, that company is worth $1.9 billion owning McDonald's franchises. Crap. And he did it because his dad owned 2 Burger King franchises and he wanted to buy like a mansion on some Greek island. And so he called his son and said, son, have the bank wire me. I need $2 million. Have the bank wire it to me. The bank did it that day because the cash flow off of the Burger King franchises was so trustworthy. There was no background checks needed or anything like that. They just sent $2 million.
I guess that's a great motivation right there, right? If you want to buy mention a great, just buy Burger King, you know?
Yeah,
that's how you want to order
Burger King franchise. Now, yeah. And I know another guy. He used to be like the number two or number three guy at Domino's. So this is a guy I was in business with for a while, and it was a bad deal. I lost my money. But I learned one thing from him. He used to be the number two or three guy at Domino's, and at one point, so he saw all the franchises. His job was to kind of monitor all the franchises. And he saw there was one chain of franchises. This guy owned about 30 Domino's franchises in Florida near Tampa Bay or near Tampa. And the franchises were going out of business. They were losing money. So he had to go down there and see what was wrong. Mm-hmm. And he saw that A, they were slow in delivering pizzas, and B, sometimes the pizzas were not circular. They were like oddly shaped. And he said, just make a circular pizza and you'll make your money. So he got permission from his boss to buy the franchises. He quit his job at Domino's to become a franchise owner. He bought these 30 franchises. He made like millions and millions of dollars in just a few years and then retired.
Right. So I have a question for you. Like, I mean, now we're still on the franchise topic. I know we're going to go on another topic. Have you guys seen the recent like supply chain issues?
Yes.
So I'm just curious, like, do you think like owning a franchise right now is still a good idea because of all the supply chain issues?
Okay, so let me just summarize what the supply chain issues are. Because of the pandemic and because of shutdowns in various countries, including China, that the places where the U.S. Let's say Walmart normally gets its products are all shut down. The factories are shut down. The factories that make the components of like other products, they're shut down. So let's say Apple factories are open. They're ready to make Apple computers, but some semiconductor factory in Korea is closed. You can't make the computers. You don't get the computers. So
yeah.
So
also, there's travel restrictions as well. So like it's harder for some product to get to some other country because of
right. And not only that, there's such a backlog in the supply chain. There's something like 100 ships.
Yeah, sitting in the. China.
Yeah, sitting in the port of LA, which is the largest
and
port.
China.
So ships aren't even getting in to distribute their products. And by the way, this is the like housing prices in part are going up because lumber during the pandemic, nobody was cutting down trees. So there's a shortage of lumber. So there's more than one reason why there's supply chain issues. In some cases, it's because the factories are closed. In some places, it's because nobody was doing the things required to make the products, like cutting down trees. So anything from paper to housing prices to wooden desks or whatever, are the prices are going up because lumber got more expensive. Now, that's all temporary, though. Eventually, the factories open up. Lumber is already 50% lower than its peak price. So, you know, oil's coming down. So eventually, all these supply chain people were saying, oh, see, this is inflation from money printing. That's not true. It was inflation, temporary inflation, because demand right now is unnaturally high because people have not been demanding these things for a year, and supply is unnaturally low. So it has nothing to do with the normal kind of economic inflation. This is purely a supply and demand inflation that's temporary. Inflation that's caused by problems in supply and demand get adjusted because prices go so high that demand goes down, or the supply chain gets fixed, so supply goes up again. So this is all a situation that's getting fixed, like lumber is getting fixed. So yes, Jay, what is a risk that I would think about is that, listen, a lot of restaurants went out of business during the pandemic. Robin, you were just telling me there's a list of restaurants, a big chains that are going out of business. Let me, and you,
really?
You mentioned Applebee's on that list.
Wait. Is it their franchise or is like
some of them are franchises? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not the whole Applebee's gone. Like,
well,
we wouldn't have
no,
Applebee's
no, no.
Tomorrow.
It's the whole. I think it's the major restaurant chains that closed in 2021 or are closing. Now they're not closing all their locations, but okay. California Pizza Kitchen, which was an excellent franchise. Friendly's, which I remember as a kid was my favorite place to go. Ruby Tuesday, which is a popular casual dining place.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow, this list says Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese?
Oh, yeah. In June 2020, they filed for bankruptcy, and they would permanently be closing over 30 of its locations. But here's the thing. When these companies go franchise, when they go bankrupt, what it means is their debt gets canceled, and all the shareholders are wiped out. But then the court restructures the debt, so it's a little easier for them. So they close 30 of its locations, but they still operate 500 locations. So they go out of business, but sometimes there are different kinds of bankruptcy. Chapter 11 is when you cancel your debt and you have to rework it, and the court, like California Pizza Kitchen operates 200 locations. They close permanently 46 of them. Mm-hmm. So not all of them. And I don't know if these are company owned or franchises. Denny's is not going out of business. Dunkin' Donuts is not going out of business.
I have Dunkin' Donuts every morning. Please don't go out of business.
Okay.
I need
Dunkin' Donuts. I like donuts. But Denny's, I don't know. I haven't been there in a while.
Oh, I haven't been
Denny's
there in a
while. Awful. I used to like the stock back in 2004, but I hate it now. I hate the food.
Maybe some of these need to go out of business because they're so unhealthy.
Well, they're all unhealthy. So I mean, you know, and of course, McDonald's is like a cliche to say it's unhealthy ever since Morgan Spurlock did that movie, Super Size Me.
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
For 30 days, he ate nothing but McDonald's and he gained 25 pounds and he actually had like medical problems with his liver.
Oh, my God.
But he probably ate like really, you know, he was making a movie. So he's probably made the worst choices. But something like the Shamrock Shake at McDonald's has like something like 100 grams of sugar. Like twice what you're supposed to have per day. Somebody said that's like eating 6 slices of bread simultaneously.
Oh my God.
Like just one Shamrock Shake. But we already know that. It's like if you go to McDonald's, you know what you're getting into.
Right.
I mean, I haven't like ordered like that sugary stuff from McDonald's. I mean, I still have
some fries. Well, their french fries have sugar in them. That's why they're so good.
But look at McDonald's. First off, there are over 14,000 McDonald's restaurants in the U.S., 200 of them closed during the pandemic, but they were all mostly located in Walmart stores because I guess Walmart's was closed, so they couldn't really do business. And I don't think those are franchises. I think McDonald's owns those. So McDonald's owns a lot of their stores, but they make much more profit from the franchise owners because the franchise owners just give them money. Franchise owners buy the food from McDonald's and also pay to be a franchise. So it's like 80% profit margin. Whereas the restaurants they own, there's a 16% profit margin.
Well, plus they
McDonald's
own the real estate.
Owns also a lot of the real estate.
That's what I said. Right.
Yeah. So they own an enormous amount of real estate, and that's
the business they're in. Is real estate.
Yeah, I mean they're in both because they're for the franchising makes $18 billion a year, but the real estate value is certainly huge, and so smart investors will try to always analyze what is this real estate worth. In the real world, if you had to sell it, and they analyze McDonald's not only on their cash flow but on the value of their real estate, and so sometimes people pay too much and sometimes people pay too little.
Yeah, so that's why I choose McDonald's. You know, other than I have to have nuggets every night. You know,
do you?
I mean, it's great.
No.
I mean, every couple of nights because like a lot of time, like I want something that quick. That's quick. You know, if I have rice, it's going to be messy. I just sit there and eat it. You know, I'm going to be fat. You know, I just have nuggets, just finger foods, and then just call it a day.
You get a kid's meal?
Yeah, just like a 6-piece nuggets. Yeah.
And I used to, you know, when you have kids also, like when you have little kids, they love McDonald's. So unless you're like, and McDonald's are everywhere. So if you're going on a road trip, you're not going to look for like the healthy vegan choice on the turnpike when your kids are crying. Like you're going to, oh, there's a McDonald's, pull over. And just everything, I feel so, starting around the age of 24, if I could only eat at a McDonald's once a month. And my friend and I would make a big deal of it. It was the day we would eat at McDonald's. and I would just order like two small hamburgers and fries.
Oh, those are
and
so
I'd
good
I'd feel like
too.
So bloated.
I love them.
I couldn't handle it.
I know. Well, okay. Back to the topic. So
yes.
So yes. I mean,
Jay, bringing it back on course.
Yeah, because like I mean, I'm just curious about the supply chain ever because like supply chain is almost like how the world runs.
But Jay, I'm to really answer your question. The reason why McDonald's is the choice is of all franchises, that's the safest. So McDonald's is going to make sure you're not going to fail. I mean, again, they own 14,000 and only 200 closed. And those 200 were mostly in, were almost all in Walmarts. So your franchise is not going to close. So
yeah, even with the supply chain issues.
Yeah. And by the way, if you have a drive-through, McDonald's did a lot of business through in a drive-through. So that didn't get affected during the pandemic. And you could do delivery. So we have Uber Eats. Everybody could get delivery.
Right. So you would choose McDonald's then?
I would have chosen, if I was Mark Zuckerberg, I would have chosen McDonald's because, A, I think college, it's like Warren Buffett said, invest in yourself because also you're going to invest in the things you love doing. Like if you love photography and you want to be a photographer, you're not going to necessarily learn photography in college, but if you take photography courses and spend your day taking photographs, doing what you love, you'll learn the skills for it. You'll develop your talent. You'll very quickly get to the point where you can monetize it. So I don't think he's necessarily saying go to college, and going to college and taking some random course is not going to invest in myself. But I feel like going to McDonald's, I could read the books anyway. And like, why do I have to pay tuition to read books? And I'll run a business, make salary, and learn business skills are really hard. You have to learn to be a good businessman. There's no talent at it. Like you have to learn, you know, marketing. You have to have ideas. You have to be a good manager, a good leader. You have to motivate people. You have to know how to negotiate. You have to know how to execute properly and consistently. And like you can't have circular. You can't have like weird shaped pizzas, for instance. You know, there's a lot of skills to business that I think probably took me a good 10 years of being in business to learn these skills. And I didn't, in part it was slow because I didn't really love business, but you know, you have to learn them to survive or else you can't be a businessman. You can't be an entrepreneur. So you start learning these skills by owning a McDonald's franchise. And then if you want to, you know, learn computer programming, go to Code Academy, and you don't need like Harvard's courses because they might not teach you anything useful in real life. Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period. And I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away. And I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So really did not want to fly for 14 hours. And they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Right. I guess Harvard is good if you're like, oh, I want to be a doc. Is it doctor? Like the Harvard like give doctor degrees?
When's the last time you asked your doctor where he went to college?
Well, I mean, I would still be very relieved if I know my doctor actually has a college degree or like a doctor degree. Okay. You know, I don't want random people just operate on me. And also, like if he like if he wants to be like Dr. Brian Keating, be like a physicist or whatever, he still has to go to Harvard, right?
That's an exception. If you want to be a professor, you got to go to college and graduate school.
If you already know you want to be like a
doctor.
But that's the law.
Professions.
I would suggest that that shouldn't be the law. So somebody once asked me, I was at a networking dinner and someone who was like deputy mayor of New York or whatever was at this dinner and said, what if you had a choice, you know, what if your brain surgeon didn't have a medical degree, wouldn't you rather your brain surgeon, you know, had a medical degree from Harvard? And I'm like, no, I just want to know my brain surgeon has done 1,000 successful brain surgeries.
Right.
So what if he graduated from Harvard? Maybe he's like some drug addict and all his brain surgeries fail. Like, well, but that should not be the criteria.
Right. But to have the first surgery, you still have to like know the basic.
First off, maybe there's an apprentice system. And so you assist another good surgeon in surgeries. Maybe that's a better way to do it anyway.
Right. See, okay. Now I have questions for you both. You both have kids, two different kids. Like, think about your kids. What would your kids choose? I mean, like kids that age too.
Okay. Yeah. So Robin, let me ask you this. And then mm-hmm. J.I., I'll ask you a second. Mm-hmm. For your kids, let's say you were able... Would you make this offer to your kids? You know, let's say you had the money to make this offer and you were so inclined. Would you make the offer to your kids? Okay, you can either go to Harvard for 4 years or I will buy you a McDonald's franchise.
I like that you ask if, because this is what happening right now, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, well, all our kids are college age.
Yeah, so.
Five kids.
Well, I guess I would give them a choice because I don't want to, I want them to be happy, so.
I don't quite believe you. I think you would want them to go to Harvard.
Well, I did want, yeah, I mean, my kids, I wanted them to go to school.
Why?
To college.
Right.
Even though you've read, even before you met me, you read all my stuff about don't send your kids to college.
Not all colleges, but I mean, if there are certain colleges that I feel like it gives them an opportunity to network, meet people, have time to grow, experiment.
With drugs and sex?
No.
Go on.
No. Just to see what they like. And at 18, it's really difficult to figure out what your passions are. So I feel like giving them an opportunity to explore is a good, healthy thing.
But don't you think like school, even first off, Harvard in particular, is not real life? Like, let me ask you this. After you left college, in college, you're friends with everybody who's still your age. So when you're 20 years old, you're friends with other 20-year-olds. When you're 21, your friends are 21, and so on. But after college, when have you, since you've been 22 years old, when have you ever been friends, most of your friends were your age, ever since then?
Right, no, that's, I think never.
Yeah, like it's not the real world. And then, and...
But it's opportunity. I feel like when you go to a really top university, you're around other people that you might not have an opportunity to be around. You know,
that's true.
And you are the right. What you always tell me. You are the average of the five people that you.
Five people, yeah.
Yeah, five other college students who might be, you know, blowing off classes and experimenting with drugs and whatever.
Well,
so I'm not convinced that college, you know. The original reason for college, and look, we're going to talk more about this because we're going to do an episode of I Was Wrong, focusing
on
college.
Not-
So maybe we should postpone some of this discussion. But I would certainly, I did give my kids the choice of, here's the choice I gave them. I said to Josie, I will either pay for all of your college or I will just give you the tuition in cash. But during those 4 years, you have to watch a movie with me every day, and we discuss the movie afterwards.
See, it would be funny if you did that to other person's daughter.
That would be like them weird. Like you want to watch a movie every day with a 17-year-old? Like what?
What about working? Wasn't that
yeah?
Part
in
of the
in
deal
retrospect,
too?
In retrospect, I should have said, buy here. Go to Flippa.com. Thank you for sponsoring us, Flippa. Go to Flippa.com and buy an online business. And I will pay for it.
Yeah.
Like if it's within the price of the same price as tuition. Or if right. they wanted to buy a McDonald's franchise, yeah. Or even better, a Subway franchise, I would do that for them. I would, and they have to do that for 4 years. Because I think you're not going to stop an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old from making friends. They're going to go, buy a franchise in a city. They're going to make friends. Like, and again, we'll talk more about college and what we ended up doing with our kids in an episode coming out probably in about a week or so. But, you know, I see kids sometimes they have more friends from work than from school. So, you know, that's, they're not going to not make friends if they're social creatures.
Yeah. Right. So what I would do is I'll still give them choices, but I wouldn't say Harvard. I mean, I would give them like choices like, you know, McDonald's, but I would give them the choices that I would give them as the Harvard and the school that's overseas, like maybe in Europe or Asia.
Fair.
Because
bullshit choices and see what they choose.
if they want to go to school, they will have to go to somewhere they can't rely on anyone. They have to survive
right.
on their own. Like, so let's say if you're
that's
like as a foreigner, I have to survive on my own in terms of like, I have to figure out what's the law here. The law is different everywhere. And I have to make sure that I wouldn't get into trouble.
Yeah, Jay, honestly, you're making a good point, which we will discuss further in the I Was Wrong episode of college. But like, Jay, you're a great example where you left your country and you came to America, which is a very brave thing to do, to leave behind everybody you know. And English was not you had trouble with English at first. I'm assuming that's true because sometimes you have trouble with English now.
What is English right now?
No, I'm just kidding. You're great. But the other thing is, Jay, you went to a school, you did invest in yourself because you went to a school that's focused on your passion, which is, you know, music and audio engineering. Like you really, you did not waste your years in college. Nope. You built, how much of what you do now do you think, not even what you do now, but what got you here is because of what you learned in college?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's everything. Because like I went to recording arts school, so it's all about audio, like live sounds, post-productions, music recording, everything audio. And then on top of that, all the troubleshooting stuff is just what I learned along the way. It's like a package that come along with it.
See, that's smart. And I think American kids, I don't want to say they're spoiled because that implies, you know, other things as well. But I think the average American is so used to, I could afford college because there's student loans and there's this and that and it's expected of me. So American kids are kind of forced to just go to a generic college and then they don't understand debt. So they get into huge debt. I mean, student loan debt has gone up faster than inflation for 45 years in a row. And now it's at the highest level ever. Something like $15 trillion of student loan, or maybe a little less than that, but I forget the number. But, you know, I remember one time I was on a podcast. I went on Alexis Ohanian's podcast. He's the founder of Reddit. He's married to Serena Williams right now. And afterwards, we were just chatting, and he told me he studied European history in college. And I'm like, oh, yeah? When was Charlemagne born? And now, people who listen to this podcast know I've asked that question before. Nobody ever gets it right within 500 years, except for listeners of this podcast. Correct. And so he said something like, oh, 1350. And I'm like, no, you majored in European history. That was like your major, like that all your courses were in that. And, Charlemagne unified Europe after the Roman Empire collapsed. He's the most important emperor in European history. Most people believe 754, like in the dark, not 1330, this 754. Right. So he was off by almost 600 years. And he's the founder of Reddit, which is like, amasses all the information on the planet. But I just don't think people really remember what it's not because they have bad memories and it's not because there's bad teachers. It's just when you take 18 classes and stuff, you don't really you only remember things that you focus on and that you love. I only remember things that I focus on and that I love doing, and even then it's hard work to remember. If you have to remember a musical piece, you've got to practice it for days, weeks, months, depending on how hard it is. And even then you might mess up if you're performing it in a performance, even if you're a professional musician.
Yeah, that's why I'm still good at what I do, because like what I learned in school, I use it every day in my work.
And you loved it. Like you chose to leave your country and go to this unknown school in Northern Florida that no one's ever heard of before to learn, but it was probably a great school. It was like the Harvard of audio engineering, for all I know. That's the only place where you're able to learn it. And it expensive? How expensive was it?
It's pretty expensive. It was a year, and then it was like $75,000.
How many years did you have to go?
Only a year.
Oh, only a year. So you
it's an expedited, like an express. So like. I have associate degrees, so I'm not like smart like any other people.
No, but okay,
it is.
You might be smarter.
That doesn't make you
smart. You might be smarter because you were smart and you didn't spend the money. Like a bachelor's degree, whether it's a shitty school or a good school, if it's not a public school, it's about the tuition's about $70,000 a year. Harvard, $70,000 a year, and bullshit college in. Well, let me just check. Like,
I have to say, like the $75,000 including housing as well. It wasn't like the full tuition.
Right. So you spent one-fourth of what the average U.S. student spends. You didn't get – maybe you got into debt, but you certainly didn't get into as much debt. Nope. And you learned a skill that you loved and a skill that you were then immediately able to apply to a career.
Yeah.
And 3 years where other people would just be attending classes and forgetting them, you actually started making money. Now, I'm not completely correct on all this, which will, again, I'm teasing the, we have this sub-series called I Was Wrong that we just started, and the first episode was about home ownership. I'm not completely wrong, but I'm admitting some areas where I was very much wrong. And I, the same thing's going to come up with college. But in general, Jay, I think you made, I know somebody who went to Cornell. The first 2 years, he went to community college, got the associate's degree, and then he transferred to Cornell his last 2 years so he could get the Cornell, the Ivy League degree, but he, with, you know, almost one half the price that the other students did. That, you know, I'm not saying he was smart or stupid, but that seems like a smarter way to do it.
Yeah, and also a lot of people like sort of just brush off trade school. Trade school is actually pretty smart way to go. Like, you know, if you don't want, you know, if you don't know what to do, you can always go to trade school first because you learn a trade, like, and like electrical engineering or whatever.
Yeah, like there's a whole marketing scam that says, oh, you should go to Harvard instead of like a trade school. But like, okay, the average Harvard student makes $90,000 when they graduate and they're probably $200,000 in debt. So now the question is, did Mark Zuckerberg make the right choice?
It seems like he did. You know, he did the Facebook now.
Well, don't forget, this is in hindsight. We know he started a trillion-dollar company.
But he was in the right place at the right time, and he started that at Harvard. I mean,
it right. So like thinking from, about it, like how do you think Mark Zuckerberg? What do you think Mark Zuckerberg was thinking about when he was 18, and his dad? By the way, his dad offered them.
He didn't graduate.
Right. Mark Zuckerberg left after a second year. So Randy Zuckerberg, his sister, and his, I think he's got two other siblings, they were all offered the same option. And of course, they all chose Harvard or college or whatever. But I think his dad's name is Edward. I think Edward Zuckerberg, I'll call him Ted. I think Ted made a really interesting, was kudos to Ted for making such a fascinating offer. But what was going through Mark Zuckerberg's head, do you think, when he was made that offer?
I think he just, well, first of all, I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is human anymore. I think he's just a robot. So he's just computing what his possibility going to be. I think that's it. I mean, like, do you think he's, I mean,
okay, so tell me what he was computing.
Human. He probably just think about, okay, how much fun and or how much girls that I can meet, like, because that's what 18 years kids want.
Okay,
to, you know,
A, that probably was what you say. He probably thought, but you don't think when he's making $200,000 a year at a McDonald's franchise that he's not gonna roll large in the club? And
well, yeah, but the thing is, like, at the same time, I think there was an interesting experiment. I think Michio Kaku did or someone else did. It's like if you put a cookies in front of a kid and then you ask him, if you eat right now, you can have this cookie, but if you wait for like half an hour, you can get another piece of cookies. But most of the kids will go for the cookies right there and then. So that's probably what's go through his mind, is that like he want that money and go to school right away or something like that. I could be wrong. You know?
Well, what else do you think was going on? Well, first off, I want to just point out something, what you just said. You said Michio Kaku did an experiment with cookies. Michio Kaku didn't. Michio Kaku is a quantum physicist. No, right. And he's not an experimentalist. He specializes in string theory. He's never done an experiment in his life. So he's not a social psychologist who does experiments like that. I think he fell for the bias where you take words that sound the same and think that they're somehow related. Michio Kaku experimenting with cookies.
That's why English is my second language.
Listen,
you know?
My deep apologies to Michio Kaku, who's been on four or five of our podcasts. Jay, he just fell for a cognitive bias. So we really, on behalf of the James Altucher Show, Michio, you're always welcome. Let's talk Star Trek and if the teleportation machine is possible in string theory next time you're on. But yeah, you're right. So
there was a test. But it wasn't.
So yeah. What else do you think he was computing? I mean, certainly he was computing money. So
right. One, money and women. Like, if you're 18 years old, I'm pretty sure. Like, back then, now maybe different. Now it's like, now if you're 18 years old, you think about BLM, you think about, you know, all these rights, you think about the environment issues and all this stuff and political stuff. But back then,
Mark Zuckerberg was clearly not thinking about any of that. He could care less, even if he was right now. So he's just thinking about money. So let's say he's thinking about money. What do you think he's computing? And he sees the average person, he could make like $200,000 or $300,000 a year and build a franchise business to make even more. So he saw that on one side, the McDonald's side. What do you think he saw on the college side?
Huh. I wonder if on the college side he was just thinking about the status. Because if you go to like back then, right now maybe less so. Back then, if you say you go to Harvard, you graduated for Harvard, you have that status, you know, like you came out like, yeah, I went
well,
to.
Well, it opens doors for you.
Yeah, it opens doors for you. And also like you feel like you're higher class.
Too. Right. I think you're right, particularly with Harvard, by the way. I think Harvard is the main school in the U.S. that it opens doors for you. Because there's like kings that go to Harvard and you know, the people who are going to run Wall Street and whatever, they're going to Harvard right now. Mm-hmm. And I think Mark Zuckerberg also thought, look, I'm probably an above average computer programmer. He probably thought to himself, I'm very entrepreneurial. And tech entrepreneurship ultimately does make more than McDonald's entrepreneurship. And so he probably figured that even though the odds are that he could make less than a McDonald's, or even though there was some percentage chance he could make less than a McDonald's franchise owner in the long run, he probably also tried to calculate the odds that he would make significantly more, like millions and millions of dollars more than a McDonald's franchise owner. And he probably figured he already had a skill set that could make millions. So double down on that by going to Harvard, making the connections, and so on. So I do think he probably figured he'd meet a lot more girls at college at Harvard than as a McDonald's franchise owner. But you know, it did work out well for him. And as you've both noted, he did drop out of Harvard 2 years later after starting a business. So he didn't care about college at all. It was just he did what he set out to do. But he did it earlier than he thought he was going to do. He started Facebook. And then 2 years after he dropped out of college, guess what? Microsoft offered him, I think they offered Facebook $1 billion to buy the company. So he was 22 years old, and he owned 25% of Facebook at that time as a 22-year-old. He said no. He didn't even consider it. And he turned down $250 million for himself personally, you know, from Yahoo. If you were 22 years old, even if you loved what you're doing, would you turn down $250 million?
Well, like I said, you know, like he's not a human anymore. He's probably computer by that point. So like, that's why he can compute that far. Like if it's me, I wouldn't. You know, because like I don't think I can focus on one business for that. I don't think I can focus on one business for such a long time. You know, I wouldn't be able to focus on one thing for such a long time.
I agree. You know, very early on in the podcast, so Peter Thiel came on the podcast. Peter Thiel was the first investor in Facebook. And so Peter Thiel was on the board. Now, let's not forget, Peter Thiel, when he sold PayPal, which was just a few years earlier, he made $75 million. So he probably would have made more than that he invested $500,000 in Facebook, and he probably would have made more than he made on PayPal by selling Facebook for $1 billion. So he really wanted Mark Zuckerberg to take the deal. Peter Thiel wasn't yet a billionaire. And he said to Mark, why aren't you taking it? You're going to be worth $250 million. You could start another business if you want. And Mark Zuckerberg said to him, what else, what am I going to do with this money? I'm just going to sit around and program and make another social network and do this all over again. But, you know, I'm already doing it. So why would I, you know, and I guess, look, I wrote an article, as I've mentioned before on the podcast, I wrote an article that week saying he was smart by not taking it because, you know, it's going to be worth $100 billion at some point. And 5 years after I wrote that in the Financial Times, of course, it IPO'd, and that day it hit $100 billion in value. I remember one time I ran into, what's his name? Not the Winklevoss brothers, but remember there was a third guy that was working with them?
Was it Edward?
No.
No, Edward left, right?
No, that was the one who was working with Mark, but there was somebody working with the Winklevoss twins, the Indian guy.
Now he started a spec company.
Yeah, Divya Narendra. So I ran into Divya, and he said to me, actually, you know, Facebook stock at that point was going down. This was like a few months after the IPO. It actually was below the IPO price for a while. And he said, do you really think, he says, I don't know what to do. I might sell my Facebook stock. Because, you know, he won all sorts of stock in the lawsuit along with the Winklevoss twins. And he said to me, should I sell? And I'm like, look, I don't know what you should do, but I think Facebook's going way, way up from here. And I don't know what he did. I never saw him again, and I never saw him before that. But I hope he held on to his shares because they were worth, you know, 10 times more or 5 times more than what they were worth then. And I think he had $20 million worth of stock, so maybe he has $100 million worth of stock now.
Seems like he's doing pretty well. I mean, now he just started another company to help. It's called to help a SPAC or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah, let me look him up. I haven't.
Yeah, yeah. But like, if it's me, like I would like I mentioned before, like I wouldn't be able to like just sit there and keep doing what I do. I'm the type of person like to do like different things. Like even though I'm producing the show, engineering for the show on the side. You know, still do streaming. I still do. Yeah, you're not. You have to have multiple stream of income.
I agree. I was just kidding with you.
Like I mentioned before, like I wouldn't be able to focus on one thing. I would need to do different things
So Zuckerberg obviously wanted. He loved maybe running Facebook. He wanted to focus on it. Maybe he loved other things about it other than that it was a social network. Maybe he loved being the king of the hill of the company and. Maybe he thought he saw more potential with it and the money didn't lure him. He knew maybe he had a lot of confidence that he would make it at least that much, if not 20 times more. And look, it's good he didn't accept the $250 million because what's Mark Zuckerberg's net worth right now? Let me ask his competitor, Google. Mark Zuckerberg net worth $121 billion. Holy moly. I remember for like decades, Bill Gates was the richest guy on the planet with like 30 billion, 40 billion, 50 billion. Now, Mark Zuckerberg is worth 121 billion and he's not even in the top three richest people on the planet.
Right.
I mean, I think Elon Musk is worth over 200 billion. Jeff Bezos is 191 billion. Bernard Arnault, who's the head of LVMH, the clothing company, I guess, he's worth $173 billion. So yeah, Mark Zuckerberg's just a chump with $121 billion. So maybe he should have done that McDonald's franchise.
Well, I'm just curious, like if he also he has a safety net, like you know, maybe the parents are rich or something like that.
Maybe yeah. So maybe he wasn't really sweating. Like, Dad, I don't want to make $200K a year. You're worth like. $5 million. I think his dad's like a lawyer or something. So maybe he didn't really think about, you know, maybe he always, that gave him an option to always go for it. So Robin, would you have, if Yahoo offered you $250 million for your company, would you have taken it? Even though you thought that there maybe was potential for it to grow much more?
I probably would not have taken it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why.
That's just how I roll.
Yeah, you do. I have to say, whenever someone says it could be worth something, could be worth X, you think it could be worth at least twice that.
All the time, but I do believe that if I believe in something,
yeah.
I'm not gonna play poker with Robin.
Well, with Robin, if the people are good, you place a lot of weight on the people, and that's really important in business.
Yes.
And if there's momentum happening, so like everybody loves what you're doing, you're gonna just keep. And if you love it, you're just going to keep doing it. I see you making the same choice. I 100% would have taken the money, 1,000,000,000%. But here's the thing. I would have made all the opposite choices of Mark Zuckerberg, which maybe that's... And I think those are the correct choices to make, just statistically. Because how many people... Like, there was a social network before Facebook called Friendster.
Oh yeah, Friendster.
And that Friendster sucks. Could have sold for like $100 million. But they didn't. They decided to keep going. And then they went out of business and they made nothing. And, you know, a similar company is, what's that company where you used to check in all your
Foursquare?
Foursquare, yeah. Does Foursquare even exist still? Like,
I think it still exists. It got bought by other company, I think. I could be wrong.
Well,
let me
like
look it up.
A few months after they started, Yahoo again offered them $100 million. Like, what happened to Foursquare?
It's still around, apparently.
I remember I found an email the other day where they wrote me for their seed investment. Hey, we're this company. We did this. It's called Foursquare. Do you want to invest? And I didn't even respond to it. But That, see,
I think that did change their business model, maybe.
I think a common theme for me is that I'm making the opposite decisions that everyone else is making. And maybe, like, look, right. Mark Zuckerberg obviously made the right decisions. In hindsight, he's worth $120 billion. Facebook has 2 or 3 billion users. But I don't know. Maybe I feel like Warren Buffett's advice, I like. It's like, spend time on what you love doing. And I feel at the McDonald's franchise, I could have explored more what I love doing, and I would have had the money to do it at an early age. I didn't have any money at all until I was 27. And, you know, I was totally broke with $0 in my bank account. Of course I would have taken $250 million. But listener, what would you think about these choices? Maybe offer these choices to your children and see how they would respond. My kids, I offered it to them all the time. They never listened to me. We'll talk more about that. But I think Mark Zuckerberg made brave choices. Robin, I think you would have made a brave choice. Jay, I think you made really great choices in your own life.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe I didn't make such a great choice for you, but nobody offered me these choices anyway. So
anyway,
think about it. Listener, I hope this was interesting. Send us a tweet. You know what? If you like this, it really helps. Follow us on Apple Podcasts. Leave a review. Leave 5 stars or 4 stars or 6 stars, whatever it is.
Right.
Write to Uber and tell them to give me a good Uber rating if you can. No, I have a really good Uber rating. One person who used to work on this podcast but doesn't anymore had a horrible Uber rating because his girlfriend kept bringing her dog onto the Ubers. But and then I don't know what else she would do, but that has nothing to do with this choice. So McDonald's or Harvard, $0 or $250 million, you decide. Good luck. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.